And now on WRS, Michael McKay with the McKay Interview.
Hello, everyone. Cast your mind back to 2021. We were just coming out of COVID-19 and the lockdown. It was a terrible period with doctors, scientists, public health officials, political leaders racing against the clock, trying to combat or at least mitigate the damage of the pandemic, the severity of which had not been experienced in 100 years. As you all know, because you, like me, lived through it, the pandemic affected schools, children, young people, the elderly, hospitals, care homes, and businesses, places of employment, and shopping. And COVID introduced new phrases or accelerated the use of words and phrases that were just coming into fashion, like working from home, shopping online, Zoom, you're on mute, virtual meetings, and Teams, and the list is long. Now, books and academic research papers have been and continue to be written about the after effects of COVID on our behaviour and our national economy, especially if you're listening to me in one of those countries like Switzerland, the UK, Italy, or France, where there was for a time a complete shutdown of the national economy. Well, it's to this subject that I want to turn my attention to today, how COVID affected one particular type of business and how matters have developed since our lives returned to something resembling normalcy. Now, when I mention it, I mean the business sector that I'm going to focus on today, it might raise an eyebrow or even two eyebrows on the faces of the gentlemen listening in and a look of quizzical surprise on the faces of the ladies, whether you know me or not. Now, that business sector is ladies' lingerie. Yes, that's what I said. Ladies' lingerie. Now, gents, stay with me. And ladies, because you are the experts here, please stay with me also. And let me know at the end of this program whether I've done a good job or a bad job, because you know that I always do try my best to improve. My guest today is Selma Gallon, and she's the country manager for Etam across the whole of Switzerland, based in Lausanne, which is where I am now. Selma, welcome to the McKay Interview. It's very good to meet you, and thanks for inviting me and our listeners to your offices for what for me is a first, and a first also for those tuning in. Selma.
Thank you, Michael, and welcome to Etam. I'm really glad having you today, immersed in the lingerie world.
That's amazing. Well, I'm not going to say anything about being immersed in lingerie unless I give you, the listeners, the wrong impression. But I'm very pleased to be here. Selma, I have a range of important questions to ask you, but I'm going to start right at the beginning, especially because about half our audience is male and therefore not your market nor your customers, except perhaps at two specific times of the year. But we're going to talk about that oddity a little later. Tell me about Etam. First of all, tell me the correct pronunciation, if I've done it right, where it started, and what and where its business is today, and how big the business is.
So you are pronouncing it in the right way, actually.
I made the effort.
The French way, it's Etam. We are part of the Etam group, where we have different brands. You have Maison 123, which is more ready-to-wear, Undies, Livy and Easy, other lingerie brands. Today, Etam is present all over the world. We are more than 100 year. We have more than 100 year of presence in the market. We are number one leader in France.
You're the number one in France.
Exactly.
Wow. Okay.
So today we count over 600 stores all over the world. We are 23 point of sales in Switzerland. And yes, we are a dedicated lingerie brand for women. So we support for more than 100 years the emancipation of women, supporting the right of well-being and the body positive.
So you've been around basically since the time of the suffragettes after the First World War in Europe. That's a long, long time. And just for the English speakers listening in, the Maison 123 is Maison 123. Yep.
Exactly.
Correct? Okay, good. Because I know that particular shop. My wife shops there from time to time. Now, for a lot of us, the COVID lockdown affected many of the things that we did, that we took for granted, that we enjoyed, and even a few things that we found somewhat irksome, but it did change us. Now, how did COVID and the period of lockdown affect your business? And give me some insights into how retail shopping has changed and how your business life and business processes have changed. For example, the behavior and attitude of your staff downstairs in the shop here, did that change too? What happened?
So to be honest, it wasn't an easy period for us. We had to innovate in a very, very short period. Imagine a brand closing over 600 stores, putting thousands of people at home, still charges to pay, but generating zero sales.
And that affected many, many businesses along the street.
Exactly. Yeah. At ETAM, we are not the type of company that are waiting for help. So we had to innovate quickly by ourselves, rethink retail, rethink the shopping experience. We already started this in 2019 in the digitalization of the retail, but we accelerated it in 2020. So first, retail and IT teams worked really closely to accelerate the development of our own app and transform the shopping experience that we knew before COVID into a 100% digital experience. We improved our websites, make easier shopping online. We developed also a quick delivery, adapt the collections, as we immediately understood that people's needs has changed and they needed something else than lingerie. And as you mentioned about the being on Teams, talking on Teams, so people were not wearing any more suits, they were wearing home wear, staying at home.
Casual wear.
Exactly, yeah. Casual wear. So when you were putting your camera on, you needed to be in a nice casual wear. So we had to adapt this, and we transformed really quickly our collections, and we went really deeply into the homeware collection.
And now you've been doing this for a while. Do you see these technological changes as being generally a good thing, or is it a mixed blessing?
It's a good thing.
It's a good thing.
It's a good thing, yeah, because we evolved in a different way. So we changed retail, but the thing is you had to be really fast and really smart to take this this new turn.
I see. Now, as a business manager, that's what you are here, you're in the heat of the fire as a business manager. When it comes to what's really new and the cutting edge of retail, tell me what you think is the next big thing for the retail business, such as yours, that's sort of just around the corner, but that maybe we, the ordinary consumers, not really aware of. What do you think is going to happen next?
What is going to happen next, and we see it from now, is the artificial intelligence. It's something that we see more and more involved in the retail, and for us, it's really what is happening. As I told you, we have our own app, the experience, the retail experience. It's really omni-channel, where people can be connected on our apps. They have all their information, their sizes, their purchase historical. So today, if you want to go and buy something from etam.ch, you can have all your info, and normally you shouldn't do any mistake on the size because everything is written. So wherever you are, based in Switzerland, in Spain, in the US, it's the same information you can find. So we talk about, for example, virtual fitting rooms. This is something will come for sure. I'm not an expert in this field, but we are more and more seeing that potentially you will be able to do shopping online, sitting on your couch.
So you can actually buy clothing virtually. Even if you're not an expert, you know, certainly know more about it than I do. I'm an old-fashioned, I go and put my jacket on, or the man will come and put a jacket on, or I may have my neck measured for a collar size, but how do you try on clothes virtually? I just don't get that.
It's simple. In terms of development, for sure. But the thing is that you can put all your measures on an app.
Right.
And then you can choose, I don't know, a top, a pants, and you put the your measures, and this will, and you put your picture, of course.
Yes.
And then you can see yourself virtually wearing this shirt or this pant that
on
you
the
have
screen.
On the screen.
Really?
It's not something already developed, but it's something that we see more and more, and this will come for sure in the future.
And you think the consumer would welcome that, do you?
Yes, probably more young customers. They are more willing to use the smartphones,
sure,
the apps, so it will be easier for them. But for sure, it will change the retail in this way. But actually, you know that we see it in different luxurious brands. For example, we saw this with Gucci a few years ago when they had their famous collection of sneakers. You could put your feet, take a picture, and you can visualize your feet with the pair of shoes on the screen.
Really?
Yes.
Good heavens, I didn't know that. Okay. My guest today is Selma Gallon, country manager for Switzerland, for the well-known ladies' lingerie brand, ETAM. Now, Selma, naturally we have to talk about your business and what ETAM is known for. And you won't be surprised to know that I'm no expert. And I've been into some of your clothing shops in France. I've never set foot in a lingerie shop until today, unless I've been traipsing around behind my wife. Is there a difference? Is there a difference, Selma, between what women want and what women need when it comes to buying lingerie? Is there a difference?
So this is a kind of tricky question for me. So it's completely my opinion,
okay,
but
okay.
This is an opinion that many people share. But yes, I would say that there is a difference.
What is that difference?
So I give you examples. A woman entering to our store because she needs a comfy bra after a breast surgery.
Right. Okay.
So here she needs something.
Sure, sure.
The demand is clear. Our staff will advise to the right product. And she will not be sensitive to something else than this comfy bra she is looking for. The other example, a woman who saw our fashion show and she wants to buy the bra that she saw worn by a super top model. So she wants this bra.
So this could be either live or it could be on a video presentation.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So we will advise her. The bra maybe will not fit, so we will be able to show her the full new collection and she will be sensitive to buy the new collection as originally she came because she wanted something new from the show she saw. So this is the difference between what women need. The need is really something, she has something in her mind. She needs it.
Yeah.
So we will advise her, of course, because we have experts in our stores. We will advise her on the need. And then when a woman comes to the store for something that she wants, I would say it's more easier to advise her in different and advise her in the full new collection.
And you find in terms, I mean, I know it's very difficult to generalize about a customer, consumer, but you find that generally speaking, when women come into your store, they're fairly open, are they, to suggestions, to recommendations? I mean, are they seeking advice or do they have a fairly clear view of what they really want? Or are they a bit sometimes mixed up?
You know that we say that more than 70% of women don't know their bra size.
You told me that statistic on the telephone the other day and I found that so hard to believe.
Exactly. So when they come to the store, you can...
70%?
70%. Good so God. You can be sure that most of them, they don't know. Even if you already bought a bra at Etam, you will never remember that your size is this one. So when you enter to our store, our staff are here to advise you directly. And I would say 90% of the chances that women say, yes, I need your help.
90%? Okay, so that's pretty convincing, isn't it?
Exactly.
Yeah, okay. So look, you're in charge of the whole of Switzerland, and this is no surprise that I'm going to ask you this question. What have been your observations of the differences, if any, between the buying habits amongst French-speaking Swiss women, German-speaking Swiss women, and Italian-speaking Swiss women? And do your observations extend to the large number of non-Swiss internationals in this country, a large number of which actually live down here in the western part of this country? What's your experience there?
So please, German people, don't take me wrong in what I will say. But first, we are a French brand. So we are number one in France. And culturally, our development to the French-speaking part of Sweden was easier than in the German part.
So your name is known.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I will not talk about the Italian part as we are not present yet.
Not yet, okay.
But stay tuned.
Yeah.
We will talk about it maybe another day. But today we observe that French-speaking and German-speaking parts are really different. First, in terms of brand awareness. So when you are a brand coming from east side of Switzerland, it's easier to conquer the German part.
Of course, yeah.
And vice versa. If you come from France, it's easier to conquer the French-speaking part.
Sure.
Then you have the customer behavior. We feel that the French part is more sensitive to the Latin way of doing shopping.
And what is the Latin way? You have to help me on this one, Selma. What is the Latin way of... You do it, you move your shoulders and your hands and you smile. But tell me a bit more about that. What is the Latin way of shopping?
So the Latin way is chilling out with your friends.
Chilling out with your friends, okay.
Yes, doing shopping.
Okay.
In French, we say faire du lèche-vitrine.
So women go together as a group, do they?
Exactly, oh. With friends. With your friends, with your mother, with
yes.
your daughter.
Of course.
And you buy because you have a coup de cœur. You saw something on a window and you liked it and you go to buy it.
So that appeals to you, it's your favorite and you go for it.
Yeah. Exactly. Okay. But we observe at the German part, it's more a shopping of something I need rather than something I want.
Really?
So we've been present in the German part since 2 years now. Our target, of course, is to conquer the Swiss-German heart. But the way of doing shopping from their side is completely different. They are more willing. When they shop because they need. So, of course, they will do shopping not very often in the month, and they come only because they need something. And then we also observe that the average basket is higher in the German part than in the French part.
Oh, I see. So from a business point of view, that's quite interesting, but not as frequent. Not as frequent, but when they come, they spend more.
Exactly.
Okay. Well, that's not a bad... Yeah, that's a bad thing. Thanks for that, Wola. Now, as you're Francophone, Selma, and had working experience in the shops in France. Tell me a little bit about the difference you've observed between the buying habits of French women in France compared with the Swiss women just across the border, let's say in Geneva. Can one generalize? Because maybe I'm just making a fundamental misjudgment. Or is that unfair and unrepresentative? What's been your experience of that, French women versus Swiss French women?
So I would say that you're right. There is a difference, for sure. Even though in France things are changing since the COVID period, we see that people are more and more willing to spend more qualitative time with their families. But you know, in France, it's a country where you have huge malls. So people are more willing to chill in shopping malls and buy things. It's what I said. It's a Latin legacy. In Switzerland, it's more... a German legacy, so shopping is not something natural. You know that we even see the difference in the stores' openings. For example, in Canton de Fribourg, on Saturdays, the stores close at 4 p.m., while in France, they close at 9 p.m. So generally in Switzerland, it's more, I need this than I want this, because people buy less than France. We observe, of course, a highest average basket than our neighbours.
Mm, I'm surprised to hear you say that in Fribourg they close at 4, but I guess it's because they don't have the competition of France. When we first came to Switzerland 40 years ago, we lived in Zug, and the shops closed there at 4 o'clock. But you're probably 1.5-2 hours drive to the German border, so there was no real competition anyway. They could get away with it. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's very interesting. So a few days ago, if you remember, we chatted on the phone about this interview, and you opened my eyes about quite a few things in your business, which I just simply didn't know. Now tell me again, what men buy for the women they love and when they buy it. I'm sure the listeners would like to hear the story. But they probably know the story anyway.
Maybe they know, maybe not, but I will share with you a few secrets. So yes, men and lingerie, it's a kind of... strange love story, because yes. When they enter to our store, they are very often lost.
Yes, I can imagine. Yes.
So we have two main periods in our business for men. It's Saint Valentine and Christmas.
Yes.
During Saint Valentine, Saint Valentine period is dedicated to sexiness. So men buy sexy lingerie.
Right.
So the thing is that on the 14th, the gift is given, and on the 15th, the ladies, they come back to the store to change the size.
They want the money back, or they just want to change the size?
No, they just want to change the size. Because, yes, they don't know, men don't know the size, but joke apart, to be honest, as women, we are really happy to see that our loved one thought about seeing us wearing sexy.
Yes, I can understand that, yeah.
And then you have Christmas. Christmas is less meant to sexiness, but more for a pyjama gift, but more sophisticated pyjamas in silk. So the buying experience is completely different. In Christmas, they buy more sophisticated things, pyjamas, and of course, because the weather is meant for this. So yeah, we have these two main periods, and it's for us, it's quite funny to have men entering our stores, because we see they are lost and we are here to help, of course.
And do they come in groups as well, or do they come on their own?
No, on their own. Sometimes maybe a bit ashamed, and then our work is to make them feel comfy.
They don't bring their fathers with them or their brothers. No. But tell me a serious question. When you use the word sophisticated, do you mean in terms of its appearance or the way it feels on the lady's skin, or is it a combination of both? Or tell me more.
It's a combination of both, yeah. Because we have, you know, silk is very high-end product,
yes.
So it's very delicate, and this is a really nice gift because we know that it's expensive. So this is it, and during Christmas period you have products really well designed with some lace, some embroideries, so it's really a question of gift, but yes, in a sophisticated way.
Okay, that makes sense. Now, again, you'll understand what's in my mind when I ask you this question, and I mean it in the most open and the most open way. To what extent, in your experience, if at all, because I could be completely wrong in my supposition, do women dress to attract or appeal to men as opposed to satisfying their own preferences? Again, what's been your experience in retail?
So I would say maybe a few years ago, even a long time ago, it was like that, but today it changed. Women want to satisfy themselves before satisfying someone else, for sure. We want to feel well in our lingerie, whether it's sexy or comfy. So we see in our customer experience and their journey in our stores, they also tend to share their feelings when they come to our stores.
So they talk to the servers.
Exactly. Yeah. They have to, when they enter to the store, you know, when you are in a lingerie store, you show yourself almost naked, even sometimes naked because you are in a fitting room trying something. Yeah. So as soon as you show yourself naked, it's easy to talk and to share your experience. So we observe that women, they come to our stores to buy nice things for themselves because they want to feel good in their body.
Yes.
And this is what Etam is doing, bringing the supporting and bringing the body positive.
Okay. Another question, slightly different, Selma. I don't have many young people listening to this show. They tend to be more of a mature audience in their sort of 30s, 40s and older. But their parents are probably listening in now. What have your observations been of the way in which young women buy compared with their mothers? Why do you chuckle like that?
I'm laughing. Michael, do you have any social media account? Like Instagram?
Well, it depends on your definition, but if I'm LinkedIn, Facebook, and Twitter, or now X.
So you don't follow the fashion trends?
No.
So this
I'm not really fashionable.
No, you are in your way.
Thank you, very kind.
So young women are for sure more sensitive to follow the trends.
Okay.
So probably you don't know, but during 2020, there was a campaign of no bra.
Mm-hmm. I didn't know that.
During the lockdown. So after coming back from the lockdown, we observed an increase of a demand of women asking for bras where they feel that they are not wearing bras.
So this is a specially constructed piece of mechanics.
It's a bra without the underwire.
Yeah. Okay.
So you are wearing something.
But it gives a support.
It gives the support, but you don't feel it. You don't feel this underwire, etc. So this came directly from social media because there were huge campaigns with the hashtags of no bra on Instagram, TikTok.
Okay.
We saw some videos and picture women throwing away their bras and saying, wow, we feel so good without our bra.
So it was generated from that way towards the retailer.
Exactly.
I see, okay.
And so this forced us to change our way of doing things. So after the lockdown, we brought a huge collection of bras without the underwire. So we had really to react super fast on this trend to be always trendy. So the thing is that social media and influencers are really influencing young people in the way of wearing things.
Okay, that's good. I've got an important question for you. We've only got time for a couple more questions, but this one is about the clothing industry. I mean, you know this because you're in the middle of it. It's come in for a lot of scrutiny in recent years for its contribution to excess waste, to damage to the environment, in the use of chemicals and dyes in the manufacture of fabrics and materials, and the payment of subsistence wages to workers in poor countries at the very bottom of the supply chain, who stitch the fabrics together to make the clothes that end up in the stores in rich cities like Geneva, Zurich, London, and Paris. Tell me, Selma, how you at Etam, get the pronunciation correct, how do you at Etam square that very challenging circle of downward pressure on costs with squeezed profit margins, increased logistics and transport costs, and highly competitive pricing vis-a-vis your competitors in the shopping malls and the retail points where you sell your products? Are you good and sustainable citizens of the world, Selma? And how do you maintain your good credentials? What I mean by that is, how do you know, with your hand on your heart, that your factory worker, in whichever country your clothes are made, is treated decently and paid fairly for his or her work? It's a long question, but you know what I'm getting at.
Yes. Michael, you know, we are not perfect. We cannot say that we are 100% perfect. But at ETAM, we have our WeCare program. So we call it WeCare program.
WeCare,
yeah. Exactly. It's a program that we created in 2018. It's our group responsibility pact to move towards a more sustainable and responsible fashion. So we have three pillars. The first one is we care for the planet. We design sustainable products while reducing our impact on the environment. And at a Swiss local level, we have recycling campaigns in our stores, and we work with local organizations for the recycling campaigns.
So for somebody who doesn't really understand these things, because I don't really buy much. I just buy shirts and occasionally, and I've got suits which I've had for 20 years and I can still get into, and they look okay, they're classics. But when you say recycle, does that mean that women can bring stuff back?
Exactly.
They can bring it back to you.
They can bring back their bras, not from ETAM only. They can bring their old bras.
From other brands as well?
Other brands. Really? So they get a discount, 10% discount in our stores to buy a new one.
Oh, so they actually get something, a benefit.
Exactly.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And then ETAM gives the used bras to, here in Switzerland, I will talk about Switzerland, to a local cooperative, Démarche, it's called.
I see.
Based in Lausanne.
Yeah.
So they do then all the work of recycling the good ones in a good shape, and the ones that are in the bad shapes. The bad shapes are recycled, and the ones in the good shape, they are given to associations like Caritas or Vestiaire Social in Geneva.
Sure, I see. I understand. And the other thing, just explain again to me, when you talk about sustainable materials, I mean, do you have people or part of your company that are looking at the best kinds of fabrics to choose that are kind to the planet? Is there a big difference? I mean, cotton and synthetics, I mean, where you mix cotton with other things. I don't really understand how these things work.
So we have, so to be transparent, our manufacturers are based in China.
China,
so
yeah.
We are not hiding this. Our products, some of them are made in China. And since a few months now, we bought a new manufacturer in Tunisia.
Quite close by.
Exactly, quite close. But we also have our own tech center based in France, in the north of France.
That's like a research place.
A research place where people are doing some research and using recycled materials to recreate again new products based on recycled materials.
And they do feed this progress that they found into the system.
Exactly.
Yeah, okay, that's good. So last question. I must ask you this, but don't laugh at me or wag your finger at me, because it's a rather unfair question. But modern day women's fashion puzzles me, honestly. Selma, personally, I think my mother's and my wife's, in other words, my generation, dressed a lot smarter and more elegantly than many of today's generation. But that's just my personal opinion. Tell me why some women, I say some, walk around with holes, and men too, actually, but we were talking about women's clothes today. Some women walk around with holes and tears in their jeans and have paid for these holes and tears in their jeans. When you just look at them, you can see that they're neither poor nor destitute. I wonder if any of them have ever seen real poverty. I mean, do you have a point of view on that?
Fortunately, this morning I didn't wear this jeans. But as I told you, it's the trend. I know it's unfair, but today people think they have to be trendy. They have to be seen in what their favorite superstar is wearing.
The so-called influencers.
Exactly. Yeah. You can post it on social media, and if you get likes, it's even better.
And do you have these people working with you as well? Of course. You do.
I'm a little bit like this.
Yeah.
I have a social media. I'm not posting my entire life on social media.
Yes.
But
okay.
It's a trend. It's showing that, yes, you are trendy. You are following this trend now. But we are in 2023, and this is how we live. But I think we need more 20 minutes for this question.
So if I get an Instagram account, I could actually follow you and learn a bit more about you, could I?
Exactly.
Selma, it's been great really talking to you. Look, thanks for answering all my questions with such good humour. And it's been a learning experience for me, really. It's been fascinating. My guest today has been Selma Gallon, country manager for Switzerland for the well-known ladies' lingerie brand ETAM. And thank you again, Selma.
Thank you very much, Michael. It was a pleasure.
That was The McKay Interview with Michael McKay. And don't forget, you can hear that interview again on our website, worldradio.ch.